Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. Men's Tea Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway, now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-T or visit menstclinic.com.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. We're hoping to talk with Stephen Jones, Executive Vice President for the Dallas Cowboys, in just a minute. I wanted to go and throw this out there. This might be a fool's errand, all right? But the next segment, we're going to give listeners their opportunity to really crush this team. So I wanted to throw out, there were a couple positives when I still thought maybe you could win this game. Positive. Scooney making that sweet overhead catch on the first drive and getting a little bit of yak after that to get it going.
Does that make you feel like it's next man up in that situation, or he's doing other things whenever Ferguson's the main tight end?
Probably the second one, okay. I think.
I thought he did an admirable job a couple different times getting some snags I didn't expect him to get.
And then I don't know if you want to credit Mike McCarthy for this or if you want to just credit the football awareness of Dak Prescott. They hustled up to the line for the quarterback sneak on fourth and one. Again, going back to that. Back to that drive. That's one thing that frustrates me. If you're going to go for it, you need to know straight away you're going to go for it and not be like, all right, I think we're going to go for it. And by now, the defense is ready to go. But they immediately moved to the line of scrimmage. Dak immediately got into position where now all of a sudden the New Orleans Saints are like, okay, they're going to go for it. Now the ball's already been snapped and you converted the first down. I realize it was bad across the board, but I thought that was the kind of heads-up play that keeps a drive going in a game that maybe is on the line.
Yeah.
You know, like this game was not it, but maybe in a game that's on the line, clearly, you have a heads-up play like that and get a quick, easy conversion that keeps a drive going that could make the difference.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Those are things to take and put into the manila folder and kind of go, all right, these are things that were good. But Kevin, this entire week with McCarthy and Zimmer and everybody should be, it should not be an easy week at all for the players. It should be, I mean, one thing after another of this is going to get us beat. These are the reasons. These are the things we have to do better at. This is a teaching working week because every player on the team should know we weren't good enough.
Yeah,
we were embarrassed. Like they were literally embarrassed on the field by their opponent, and that's not a good feeling for those guys.
Yeah, and I honestly hope you're right. And that's one of the things I know we were joking about Sean about. Hey, ask Jerry this tomorrow when he was like, "Hey, we're gonna flush it and move on." Like, is this not a game you want to sit on and be like, "Hey, when you think you're the Cleveland game, don't forget this game exists too."
Yeah.
And I really need you to be like prepared and to be able to answer for that. Do you guys want one or two more things that I did like from the game? Or are you like, hey, that's great. We lost by 50 million points.
Be optimistic, man.
I'm not optimistic. We still lost by 50 million points.
Mm-hmm. Not, it wasn't 50 million.
It was less than 30.
Yeah.
That is a great point. It was less than 30.
I'm not going after this as an extreme negative. But last week after the Browns game, when Broaddus came in, he said the one thing that really was missing from that game specifically was the soul crushing drive that told the opponent, you don't have a chance in this game. We've already put our foot on your throat. And then that extra point of now watch this. And yesterday the Saints did that. You come out of that, out of the halftime, and you're like, okay, let's rock this thing. And the Saints are like, we got the ball. And they take 800 minutes to finish that drive, and they finish it with a touchdown. It was plodding. It wore it down. And they're like, all right, you got a minute left. Good luck with that. And then you got the fourth quarter, and you're down by 700 points. So that's something that if you're going to be one of those teams, you need to look at that and go, that's what we have to get to.
I saw a positive following the game through play-by-play is the Saints scored a touchdown and they took it away. It was like a 26-yard touchdown.
That is true. Now,
but there was a man downfield.
They would rescore that touchdown anyway. So I don't know how much of a difference you thought that made. Much like, I don't know if you actually thought this made a difference whatsoever. But props to Jalen Tolbert. He made an incredible catch on what was an underthrown pass by Dak. It was the second of the day that should have been a touchdown. And then he came all the way back on the fumble and picked up the ball that eventually led to the field goal. Now, I was going to say, I'm not really saying that that fumble is necessarily on Dak because I thought the offensive line. Well, honestly, I thought both lines lost the line of scrimmage again and again and again yesterday. But I was really impressed at Jalen Tolbert, not only for that catch, but for getting his butt all the way back there and being like, let's go.
Yeah. I think CeeDee Lamb, I'll just go ahead and give him some love too for that big touchdown play.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan right now, brought to you by Ford and your North Texas Ford dealers. Ford is the best in Texas. We bring to you Dallas Cowboys Executive Vice President Stephen Jones. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon.
Now, Jerry said after the game he was extraordinarily disappointed and disappointed for the fans and that the team will correct this and they will improve from where they played out there today. Is that kind of the message that you want to echo to the fans?
Yeah, I mean, I think at the end of the day, I mean, this is the NFL, and we've all had these days. Certainly didn't see it coming. Very disappointing. But, at the same time, we've got a lot of confidence in this team. We've got confidence in, Coach Zimmer. Obviously, that was a tough outing yesterday for the defense in terms of, how the Saints executed. And, hats off to them. They did the younger Kubiak did a real nice job there for the Saints, and they executed and, were pretty much flawless on their first six possessions. So, those are things that we've got to tighten up and got to go to work. And I'm confident that, that we'll get the job done. Mike's been in this league a long time and very confident in this football team, our personnel, and we'll get out here and we'll correct things and make the adjustments we need to make and move forward.
Is there any concern? I know you're talking about the confidence with Mike Zimmer. Is there any concern that the last two times he was running his own defense, both of those defenses did pretty poorly statistically for the season? So can you tell us more about your confidence in Zimmer in particular?
Yeah, I just think in general, he did a lot of work, not unlike some other coaches that sit out a year. And he knows this game well. He's been a very successful coordinator, a very successful head coach, and, have all the confidence in the world that he's going to put these guys in the right spot. He did a great job the first week, and, we just came up against a Saints team that's hot. And they obviously had a very successful outing to start the season, and, we've just got to continue to our players and coaches getting on the same page in terms of what we need to do to execute the defense and get the job done.
Steven, it feels like we're going on a few years now of this team kind of getting punched in the mouth by, I don't know if you're going to say better teams in the NFL, but like kind of getting bullied a little bit. And I was kind of curious on how does a team change its identity in those moments and become the aggressor? Where do you think that starts?
Well, first of all, I'd start with, the Browns are, they're a really good football team, a playoff football team. And we went on the road and, we felt really good about it. Unfortunately, we didn't do the same thing at home. I mean, the narrative was last year we won all the games at home and didn't win on the road. Well, we just got to, find the right mix here and not only get it done on the road like we did against the Browns, but which is a great playoff football team. They obviously won a big game this weekend, and they play great defense. And we've just got to, really get in here and execute. And that's what it boils down to. We've got a really good roster, and we feel like very confident in this team.
There was also a moment yesterday, Steven, y'all got caught on camera. You and Jerry were sitting up there and y'all kind of had this like look on your face. Y'all were stunned, just like the Cowboys fans out there. And I was kind of curious what was going through your mind. What questions were you and Jerry asking yourselves while you were watching this one?
Oh, I think, the whole team, I think from the coaching staff, players, we're around this team. We thought we had a great week of practice. It was certainly not something that we expected to happen. And hats off to the Saints. I mean, they did a great job. They were very prepared. And, obviously the younger Kubiak there, he's he's chip off the old block from Shanahan and, has installed a really good offense there. But there's no question we didn't. That was a surprise to us. We never saw that coming. But that happens in this league. I mean, they pay their guys too, and things can happen. The good news is it's early, and we're 1-1. A lot of football to play.
You were talking about Kubiak, and obviously Derek Carr played very well. I'm curious, how do you think Derek Carr played yesterday? And most importantly, kind of touching on what you were just saying, what do you think about the new skills that Carr is getting to show off with the new offensive coordinator?
Well, it's all, when you get on a hot streak like they are right now. I mean, I think they're sitting right on the record for most points scored in 2 weeks with 40-plus points, which is hard to do in the NFL. My hat's off to them. They're playing at a high level. They're utilizing their weapons. They got some real speed and Alave and Kamara and Shadir. So they've got a group that's hot right now, and hats off to them. And they came in, they were more prepared, and they beat us very soundly.
Well, and you also kind of pointed out the Kubiak running game, the way that they play and everything. And do you feel like that's spreading more and more across the league and becoming more of a way that people run the ball and like to run their offenses? Do you expect to see that more this season?
Yeah, I mean, you're going to – there's that group. I mean, it's everybody knows who they are that came out of the – that Shanahan group, which is McVay and McDaniels and, Kubiak and – there's
explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos. Hard tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love. An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head to head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first 3 grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Bring it up. I'm in the Houston, Texas. Their offensive coordinators right out of that same group. So, obviously they're having success, and, we've got to continue to figure out the best way to stop that group. We're going to see more of that as we go. Now, that's not the only way people run the ball. There's people, we'll face a running team that next week that doesn't necessarily run that wide zone scheme like the gentleman we just mentioned. But, that's the chess match you have in the NFL. Obviously, no one's pleased with the results from yesterday.
After seeing kind of how I know that y'all wanted to be committed to the run yesterday, it wasn't really working offensively, obviously, because you had to start running from behind. Would you expect to see Dalvin Cook in the backfield pretty soon?
Yeah, that's real hard to get your hands around. The running game yesterday. I mean, we were having to play from behind from the start. And but at the same time, I thought the backs ran hard, but we were in a situation where we were, as much as we were wanting to stay with the run. But once you start getting down, two plus scores, then it changes your game plan. And you obviously you're trying to play from behind and run your hurry up, and it's real difficult to judge your running game in a game like that.
And Jake Ferguson, we all know, is an incredibly tough individual. I know he, was getting closer to maybe making a go of it yesterday. How do you feel about his progress? Do you think he will be ready to go against the Ravens?
Absolutely. I mean, I think, as you said, he's a tough guy. He was real close to being able to play in that game. I thought Schoonmaker did a great job. I think he had 4 catches and, did a nice job filling in for him.
He had 6?
Well, but, hello?
I think he had 6.
Oh, did he have 6? Okay. He did 6 of them then, but he did a real nice job filling in for Ferguson and, we want Ferguson back. He's part of the DNA of this football team, and I think the expectation is for him to be back.
All right. Excellent stuff. Appreciate the insight very much, good sir. We'll catch up at the end next week.
Thanks, guys.
There you go. Stephen Jones right here on 105.3 The Fan. Lou Schoonmaker, 6 receptions, 43 yards, both career highs for him.
He said something, Kevin, that I brought up early in the show, and he said they were caught off guard by the running game. They didn't expect that. They didn't expect that out of the Clint Kubiak game plan, and the defense got caught off guard by it.
I'm going to be honest. That felt like if Mike McCarthy gets fired at the end of the year, Clint Kubiak
yeah.
is going to be a huge guy on their list to interview.
Man, they love
like that
him.
Sounded. Am I crazy? But I now have him somewhat on my list of if this season doesn't go well, and there's a lot of season left, as Steven pointed out. But it sounds like they have a front runner for the next head coach of the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, Kevin, that's what I'm saying. You seeing this pop up, this plan pop up all over the league. He just pointed out how many different coordinators and coaches are involved in it. That's why I'm a little kind of surprised that they were caught off guard by
yeah.
it. Because this is a Mike Zimmer thing that he should have gone, this is kind of out of this tree that we should be able to stop it this way. That's why I was saying the defensive front looked like they didn't practice for this all week. They didn't practice to stop this specific type of offense.
I know we have to go to break, but my question is do they have the talent to stop it?
I know. No, they don't.
Okay. Well, I mean, then we can smoke and mirror it up however we like. And
they gotta find better defensive tackles
Mozzie,
to be able to
it
do
looks
it.
Like Mozzie crushed him. That was the run-stopping first-round pick that they've never decided to try to get,
yeah.
and they picked. Unfortunately, they tried. They picked the wrong guy.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, we're going to do a call-in segment, 877-881-1053. We don't do this very often. Now's your opportunity. Dallas Cowboys, no thank you notes. And also, besides the Jones family, I understand that's what people want to say. What would you change with the team or the organization? Let's see what we can actually maybe change. We'll do it next right here on The Fan.
Second and 7. Shaheed in motion. Play action car. Middle screen. Kamara 50. Right at the 45.
That's a
touchdown.
Outrunning
everybody. 40, 30, 10. Touchdown.
Yeah, it's a touchdown.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Usually we go to the text, and perhaps we still will, but right now we're going to go to the phones, 877-881-1053. Who gets your Dallas Cowboys no thank you note? But also, besides the Jones family, what do you want to change about this team, about this organization? Let's kick it off with Chris in Duncanville. What do you got?
Gentlemen, I know you're looking for a no thank you note, but I want to thank the Cowboys because after this last season, I decided not to drink the Kool-Aid, and I have never slept better or laughed heartier at this debacle.
Oh, well.
Welcome to the club.
Yeah, okay, yes.
Duncanville's number 4 in the nation for football.
Okay, but wouldn't you be upset if I came in and laughed if they lost?
It's just draft from Duncanville.
It helps your soul.
You're probably
like
right.
It just doesn't mean anything. So you're just like, it just is better.
I still care.
I do too.
If we get call after call of this is why you shouldn't care, I hear you. And that's why you shouldn't care.
Mm-hmm.
I still care. My older son still cares. My wife kind of cares because she knows that I care. Noah does not care. But I still care no matter how, for now, no matter how bad it's going. And I'm pretty sure I always will.
You're going to tell Noah this is a Cowboys house and we root for the Cowboys here? Or are you going to let him
do it?
Hey,
a Chicago Bulls house.
I let my older son think for himself and he wants to go to the University of Texas.
So now
you're
going to make sure that Noah
doesn't
think
I'm going to indoctrinate baby Noah with Texas A&M stuff and let the rest of the chips fall where they may, okay? All right, let's go to Mitch in Fort Worth. Mitch, what do you got for us?
Yeah, I think my no for this game was just, Dak, right? Like we paid him all this money right before the season. He made a lot of little mistakes. It reminded me a lot of some of the mistakes Will Levis has been making for the Titans the last few weeks. Biggest change we need to see is how Zimmer is going to stop the run. We're going up against a bunch of teams that love to run the ball. So we got to see how they're going to bounce back these next few weeks.
So that was quite the topic of discussion in our room in the break, of how Steven said they had a great week of practice, but then they were surprised by, I guess, the game plan and execution, which I always go back to this, Corey. You've heard me say this like a million times. You and I were like, here's what's going to happen. Here's what they do.
We were at Shakerton's and we talked ad nauseum about not only the play action and how much they run it and how useful it is, because that's part of that scheme, but also the type of running they were going to be doing and the way that Clint Kubiak has learned how to run the ball, that zone blocking scheme. And it just ate the Cowboys' defensive front alive. And again, it looked like they didn't even know. They didn't practice all week on how to stop that specific type of running style. And if that's the case, if you're preparing for Baltimore instead, hey, we're going to be more of a straight up approach, then you just gave this one away. That's not the way that I'm going into it each week.
That's fair.
By the way, I do also love the concept of Will Levis. Because he will leave us at some point.
Take it or will leave us.
Yeah, kind of like Michael Penix, you know? And so I always like when the way the names are said.
Let's go to line number five. This is Don in Rowlett. What do you got for us? Or are you going to try to cheer us up?
Yes, sir. I've been a Cowboy fan for 60 years. I've seen a lot of ups and downs. But one thing I can sleep easy for right now is knowing Jerry's in charge. Because as long as Jerry's in charge, the Cowboys have done nothing. For 30 years, he's had a chance since Jimmy Johnson left, and he's crapped the bed for 30 years. I'll hang up and listen.
Look, you're going to be listening for a short amount of time. I don't have a good response to you. Mm-hmm. Like, I can't tell you, hey, what about all of these marketing deals? Because I don't care about that. I'm glad that the Jones family is super duper rich. I don't care about that when it comes to how does it impact the football team.
Mm-hmm.
I want us to win games that matter. So I wish I could give like a better retort.
Unfortunately, sounds like he wants Clint Kubiak to be the coach next year.
Yeah. Unfortunately, there's no way to change it. You know, there's just not a way to change that. And, you know, they've been trying to figure it all out for all that time. And this is as close as I've felt it's been in a long time, being consistently over the last 3 years being good. And, Kevin, this game, they could go 12-5 by the end of this season and look back and go, that was another Arizona blip, just like the year before. But that's where this team is, where you're just like, man, you didn't expect that. And you're like, how? You get that question of how? And I'm not, again, to anybody that's trying to blame Dak for this loss, he didn't help it. It wasn't great. That red zone is miserable right now. His defense was the thing that caused this.
For sure.
Can I just say real quick, Dak can play better. I don't think the defense can play better. They can play better.
Surely they can play better than what we saw.
I don't think they can play better against teams that run the ball well.
I can understand.
Can they
that.
Give up less points and that would be better? Yeah, but I think that teams like this can dictate the tempo and flow. And they picked up people that nobody wanted in the NFL.
Yeah,
like I know I compare it because I cover the Rangers, but the Rangers have weaknesses on this team that they're taking into the offseason. If they go out and get nobody, or they sign guys to minor league contracts to maybe make the team, and that's the answer to the problems, people are going to go, I don't think you answered your problems in the offseason. And then we watch game two, and you go, oh, they didn't answer any of the issues. So as long as you have an Aaron Jones and Alvin Kamara, as long as you can do this, it'll be interesting to see coming up this Sunday. Like, I don't think they can stop this.
Yeah, that's a good point there, Mike, on the Mike Minor pickups here. You're like, okay, you know, we can get some good out of you, but the rest of it isn't good enough to facilitate what that is. Like, you're thinking, hey, we got Micah, and then you go get some random guy to play defensive tackle, and he's getting beat, and he's getting beat up, and they're getting to the edge every time. And, man, when you get out to that edge, if you see Trayvon Diggs and you're a running back, how good do you feel? How good do you feel once you see Diggs out there? He's not going to tackle. He's going to do everything he can to hand tackle me, and that's not going to work.
You're absolutely right about that. All right, let's go to Quick in Dallas, line number four, right here on 105.3 The Fan. Quick, what do you got for us?
Well, I'm just going to say I'm really, really disappointed about how the Cowboys played yesterday. I was really down. I was talking a lot of trash to all my Saints fans from Louisiana. But the one thing I will say that I would change is the offensive run, how we run the ball, the scheme that we use to run the ball. It looks so simplistic, and it looks like we can't get to that edge. And the defensive line, I guess they just did not want to come up and show up today or yesterday. And it's just sad to see that that's where we're going, and it feels like that's what we're going to be dealing with all year.
All right. Now, here's the reason why I really like that point right there, because that feels like something. I'm not saying with the personnel you have necessarily, but that feels like something you could attempt to alter. You know, because a lot of the complaints we get are about, this is why you shouldn't have paid Dak. I hear you. It's done. All right. Or this is why I wish somebody else ran the football team. I hear you, but it's not going to happen. So what I liked about that is at least that's something that you could attempt to modernize or change or whatever.
Yeah. And I was kind of curious. I was confused, actually, more than curious, that Steven didn't give us a yes or no on Dalvin Cook. It sounded more like they were just going
to
go, look,
man, get your hands around.
We can't figure out, like, how could you really assess the running game after that? Did we even give Deuce a really good chance? Did we give Dowdle a good chance and a good enough chance to say, because we were so far down, so far behind, we had to just throw the ball around? So I can't answer the question on Dalvin Cook at the moment.
And by the way, if people are like, well, why didn't you ask about week one? We did ask about week one. After week one, they thought the running game did very well.
Mm.
So the answer you're going to get is, as we discussed last week, we thought the running game looked really good when we needed it. We didn't really need it or couldn't really use it in
couldn't
this game.
Couldn't really use it for
so,
sure.
Yeah, I don't really know how to fix that part. All right, let's go to line number 7, Carter in Fort Worth. Carter, what are you bringing for us today?
Yeah, so I got two things. I said it last year that the defense never shows up in big games. Everyone wants to talk about Dak. If you go look at all the big games they played last year, they crapped the bed every single time.
Yeah. All right. Sorry. It's a basic rule, and he said sorry.
Yeah.
But if you swear, there's a good chance you're going to get cut off.
Yeah.
He didn't do that on purpose, but he's not wrong. The thing that we dumped is not inaccurate, that the Cowboys S the bed in games like this.
All right. I want another use of that phrase, a different use of it. What's another way to say doo-doo the bed without saying it? Because let's leave the bed out. What's another place where you could just totally mess it up? If we can come up with another one of those, I'd appreciate
we
that.
We will work on
the other day,
that.
The other day, I was watching on a show, and I was watching Suits, and they said that, and Adrian goes, I'm tired of hearing that. They need to come up with a new term, and I was like, all right.
Okay, we will work on that. Let's go to Adrian in Arizona, line number 3. What are you bringing for us today, and you're not going to swear, right?
I'm not going to swear.
Kyler Murray time.
Oh, man. You know, I was watching the game yesterday. The Cowboys' defense was laughable. But, I mean, they threw what they could at it, which I don't know how you get better from that defense. I just wish that they would make the offense better. I mean, last week wasn't super astounding from the offense. I believe they had 2 drives that were actually good. But yep. I think they need to throw more at the offense as far as getting points on the board. Then this defense can be a front-running defense like they always are.
Okay, let's talk about that for a second, because the Cowboys scored a touchdown to CeeDee Lamb, and it was awesome. How confident are you that, like, let's say CeeDee Lamb wasn't who he is, and he is just like, hey, 2 defenders, whoop, see ya, that they're going to be able to sustain the rest of that drive from about midfield and score a touchdown? Because I have to admit, I'm not super confident. We talked about this earlier. It's not the reason they lost. Dak Prescott absolutely underthrew 2 passes that were easy touchdowns. Well, easy for NFL people, not for me. But they were easy touchdowns because the receivers had created separation. I've seen people complain this morning about receivers not creating separation. Well, on those 2 plays, they created a damn lot of separation, and the balls got underthrown. And that cost them 8 points because they ended up getting field goals on both of them. I think that's fair. I would like to see the offense run more efficiently, and we talked a lot about the running game. I have no excuses for the defense yesterday. None.
By the way, lots of people texting in options, Kevin, right now. Cowboys soiled the sheets. I like that. Crapped the couch, pooped in the kitchen.
Somebody said screwed the pooch.
Screwed the pooch.
I'm familiar with that expression.
Still not sure why you would ever do that. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense to me. As Mike likes to use, they lost their water down their pants, if you will. So there's lots of different options there. Let's go ahead. There are a couple I don't know exactly.
Crap their crops.
Yeah, so racing stripes in our jocks. Lots of different options to rock with. Everybody keeps throwing Amber Heard out there. I don't know exactly what that means. All right, next to you, Kevin.
Oh, is that a thing that happened? Did she?
Yeah, I think there
I
was
don't know.
Some, I think something happened.
I have to admit, I wasn't like locked in.
I wasn't
on the
either.
Johnny Depp.
Pretty sure
Amber
something
Heard.
Happened in the bed. In that.
All right, let's go to Gary in Fort Worth. Gary, what do you got for us?
I think there's three things I'd like to change. First, the overall mentality. It's like they're not aggressive. They don't play angry. Seems like when they just get hit in the mouth, they just give up. And two, the draft and develop philosophy, it's a good thing, but you still got to pick up those one or two big name free agents to help push you over the top. And three, stop bringing the old guys in, coaches and players. You know, bring in the new guys, the younger guys that have newer philosophies, know how to scheme things up, and the younger DCs that know how to stop those philosophies.
Okay, agree. On that third point specifically, I know he started talking about the DBs, but I've seen multiple people talk about it. There was discussion last year about drafting Roschon Johnson. Well, he's fallen down the depth chart. I bet you could get him for nothing. And so when people are like, well, what free agents were out there? You can still make some trades. And you've seen, especially leading up to the draft, you can get a hell of a bargain on a veteran. Mm-hmm. That they're like, I value draft picks over this veteran right now, even if it's only a second-year player, that maybe they're like, you know what? We're not going to use him. If you think you can get something out of him, go for it.
Yeah, yeah. I totally understand their approach to it. It is a bargain approach to kind of, if you've done some bad contracts, it's the best way that you possibly can do
True.
It. They don't want to go out there and spend A money on what could be a B player, but a B player might be all you need, especially in your defensive line. There's some areas where you definitely needed to invest. Oh, Kevin, I was watching Ed Oliver the other night, and I was like, good God, remember when I wanted to trade everything to go draft him up in number 9, and we couldn't get there? But the part of the line that we keep hearing over and over is front-running defense. Because they're good whenever it's pass rush time and it's time to go at the quarterback.
Agreed.
But whenever it's time to be gritty and down and dirty, there's something missing. And I don't know if that's from, I think it has to do with the tackles. I think there's a part of being a defensive tackle. You're just nasty, dude. You're just one of those guys. You're a wrecking ball in the middle, and everybody feeds off that. You help the guys behind you. Hell, I mean, look at Kendricks and Overshown just getting blasted time after time because the guys in the middle weren't given any push. It's frustrating because, Kevin, last week we saw the Cowboys getting push all over the Browns' offensive line.
Yep.
And then this week it was the complete opposite where the Saints were just, as soon as they were off the ball, your defensive line was on their heels.
And this is where it's tough for stuff that Stephen Jones says versus stuff that we think, right? Mm-hmm. Because Stephen Jones says again and again, it's early in the season. There's a lot of football to go. And I hear you on that. I'm not disputing any of that, but I'll admit, as a Cowboys fan, I bring a lot of baggage into this season, and I'll probably bring a lot of baggage into the next season and the next season. So I understand the frustration of Cowboys fans who are like, I saw one great game, I saw one terrible game, I think it's going to go towards the terrible direction, because that's what I'm conditioned for in the last generation.
Kevin, I just saw a thing that said play action rate for the Saints last year, 32nd. This year, 1st. 52.3%.
Could have heard that on our show last week because we were prepared.
Don't worry, we're getting Kubiak next year, it sounds like. Kubiak, put him on the board.
We're the KNC Masterpiece where, yeah, I'll look it up. A lot of people have thoughts about Amber Heard, and they're like, don't try to kink shame her. I have no idea what you're talking about. I maybe we'll look into it, maybe I won't. Coming up right now.
Oh, gosh, I thought we were going to a commercial break.
I know. I have to keep you on your toes. You've been out for a week.
Okay.
Before we go to Mike Likes It, can I add one thing?
Sorry.
Sorry, Mike.
No. I'm excited, man. This is a big Cowboy game.
I get a lot of texts. I see a lot of texts that come in that are like, we demand answers.
Yeah.
Don't let these guys off the hook. We demand answers.
Yeah.
They don't have answers.
They don't.
A lot of the time, they don't have the answer to the questions we're asking.
All right, so I wasn't here when Chris Young got his extension. I was with Chris Young.
He was in Japan. He was on his way to Japan whenever he got his extension.
During that show, we got kicked off the air 7 times. That's not an exaggeration.
Day, tough day.
And at one point, people were like, I'll tell you, I have lots of thoughts about that. But people thought maybe we were helping with the Chris Young extension the last time. Okay. And I was like, that's right.
Yeah.
Well, I know this. I don't know if Chris Young is going to turn around the 2024 Texas Rangers to another 90-win team or a 100-win team or a world championship team. I don't know. But I do know this because I know Chris. He is going to work tirelessly to try to. Now, there's going to be budgets. He might have to cut budget, which is going to make it very tough to make the Rangers better. But I know what his focus and goal is in his work life. And that's it. He doesn't have to deal with Dr. Pepper and Pepsi and Coca-Cola and Papa John and Jimmy John and all the Johns. Like, that's the only thing. And I know that he's smart, and I hate saying this, and I know this comes across as bad, and I know people that I work for don't like when I say this. I don't know if Jerry Jones and Stephen Jones are even smart enough to know how to fix it. I think they're smart enough to know, and I'll give this credit to Jerry, smart enough to know how to make money,
yeah,
billions of dollars off of sports and off of football and everything like that. But I don't think they know what they're watching.
Yeah.
And I get, they both somewhat played football at Arkansas. Jerry, I think, played more than Steven. But I just don't think they're smart enough to really, they're screwed. Like, no, I know they can't say that. This is the thing, is I know that sometimes general managers, presidents of whatever operation, they won't say publicly what they know privately.
Sure.
I think Jerry gives you everything he knows.
I could see that.
And I don't think he knows a lot.
Yeah.
And he's the leader. Will McClay, I think, is a very smart person. I think Will McClay, if he had total control, I think I would trust more that the Cowboys could eventually turn around this. Well, how come they can't stop the run? How come they don't have the identity of being tough? Well, because they don't have a tough general manager and son that's a general manager.
Okay, but don't you think, I know you're right about, like, you don't say everything that you think.
Yeah.
Maybe with the exception of Jerry, who I do appreciate that from a content perspective. But don't you think even the canned answers we get from the Cowboys are probably indicative of what a lot of people think happens behind the scenes? Like, for example, with the Rangers, Chris Young was on with G-Bag and he is like, this season's been embarrassing.
Yeah.
And then we asked Bruce Bochy about it and he goes, yeah, that's probably a fair way to put it. And if we get to the end of the season and the Cowboys are 7-10, I feel very confident you're going to get the, well, only one team's going to win the Super Bowl. So even the canned answers are frustrating.
And I do think this, the Cowboy fan will feel better about this season later on. You know, like I still think they're going to win more than they lose.
You beat the Ravens this week.
Yeah.
A lot of things. Everybody's in a different mindset.
But remember, Jerry and Steven are salesmen at heart. Sure. They're not football people. Chris Young is a baseball person. He's not a salesman. If you're a salesman, you wouldn't say what he said on 105.3 The Fan, but he's not a salesman. He's a baseball person, and he's a very smart person. He went to Princeton. He's a very smart guy. But ultimately, are you a salesman or are you a person in that sport?
Yeah.
And that's the big difference. Now, I do want to play this, and this goes to the environment. Obviously, I wasn't at the New Orleans Saints home game here in Arlington, but I did get to go to Seattle for the first time. I didn't play against Seattle in Seattle. I played against the Mariners when they would come to, whether I was in Cleveland or in New York with the Mets. So they play this song. They play this Macklemore song in the seventh inning. Now, first of all, there is energy in that building that, to be honest, is different than in our building. And when they play this song, that place goes nuts for the last 3 innings of baseball.
This is a good beat song.
This is after
whether or not you like
out to the ball game. And he is a Seattle guy.
Yep.
And they play this. And I mean, yes, you stand up for the seventh inning stretch. They're dancing and flashing their phone light, oh, okay, and they are going nuts. And they don't stop. So this song goes off, and then they start the bottom of the seventh inning. They all are still standing and cheering, and there is this energy. And you know how in 2010 and 2011, Napoli,
yeah,
they do that Julio every time he comes up. Now, I will say to start the game, they don't. In the first inning, they don't. But every other, and he's had a horrible year. He's having a good finish to the season. But they, it feels like a play, the way, if you've ever gone to a Rangers playoff game, their regular season games are like Ranger playoff games.
Hey, Mike, I don't want to lose this point, but this involves a player that you have lots of thoughts about. Remember how I told you earlier that the Panthers coach said Bryce Young is our quarterback?
Oh, my God.
Tom Pelissero is reporting that he is being benched for Andy Dalton.
Thanks, Lucy.
I didn't know Andy Dalton was still in
the I didn't either.
And I know you have lots of Bryce Young-based opinions.
Bryce is our quarterback.
That's crazy.
But with the season quickly slipping away, Canales decided to make a change.
What season is slipping away? Yeah. Your season is over. It was over before it started. Just roll Bryce Young out there the rest of the year. Make sure that you're positive that he ain't the guy before you
move
on.
I'd stick him up with the coordinator so he could get an overhead view finally.
God.
You know, here's the deal, though. If, oh my gosh, Mike.
Yeah,
if Andy Dalton goes out there and looks like doo-doo too, then...
He can't look worse.
As the owner and everything, you have to look at your GM and go, what kind of team are you putting together?
He's traded up to
it's get not just dude. Bryce Young that looks bad, Mike. It is the whole team is miserable.
No, I'm with. He doesn't have a good offensive line. He doesn't have. One of the issues is they traded the first overall pick, which they didn't know was going to be, to go get him the next year. So the pick that Caleb Williams was the Carolina Panthers pick. So I would say that, look, they're in big trouble because they invested a lot more than just the first overall pick into Spuds Young. But now they have to look at it and go, all right, we're probably going to have a top three pick. And now do we stick with Muggsy or do we go in another direction? And that's going to be a really tough decision when you've invested that much money in such a short guy. All right.
He's short. I don't know if you got that yet, Corey.
So
it's a long contract for a short man.
Oh, my God.
I just... Now, Phoenix, the Diamondbacks environment is just like the Rangers. In fact, I'll say it's even worse.
Kind of empty.
It wasn't empty. It was
empty in terms of sound.
Yeah. So like they are the 14-4 game. I'm just like, gosh, I would feel like they should be cheering more. And I do think the Rangers cheer more, but it's fun to get to go to these other ballparks. Atlanta. I got to go to Atlanta. They have a good vibe going on there too. Whether you like the I like it, and it's really fun to be there, and it gets the crowd into it, and I don't think they're trying to be offensive on it, but if it is,
I
to
hope
you,
not.
Sorry, but anyways, I just the Seattle crowd because next door, obviously, you know, it's the home of the 12th man. They have a big sign up there. You can see from.
It's not the home of the 12th man.
They have a sign.
It's the home of we pay Texas A&M so we can use this as a sad knockoff.
Well, okay. It's there. And you know how loud that place gets. At least we hear. I've never been to a Seahawks game. But those same fans are Seattle Mariners fans. And so it's like they have this vibe about them. They just stand up. There's like, I'm going to stand up and start cheering. You know what? We have a runner on first and one out and we're down by a run or the game's tied. You know what? I have been sitting here quite a bit during the game, but let's just start cheering our brains off and see if we can score a run here.
It does say, Mike, it says it right there. It says home of the 12th man inside the Seattle stadium.
Yeah, I saw it's even outside.
They pay money
it's outside the
for
stadium,
the right to use home. That terminology.
Home of it. So
and it looks like they've taken the home.
Hey, that's I know a place that says breaking sports news first guaranteed, and that's not true either.
All right. You know
so
what?
Sometimes you can say things that aren't true.
I really liked the city of Seattle. I thought it was clean. It was green. Obviously, I'd like to have more sun in Seattle.
Okay.
But I did really like that city. The one thing that I don't like is everywhere you go. Now, maybe weed heads like this, or I guess they call them potheads. I hate the smell of weed. I'm not like...
Does it bother you to go up through our stairwell every day?
I don't do it. Okay. I don't go through the stairwell. But, like, there has to be a way to make weed smell better. It just smells like a horrible toot. Or it smells kind of, it's a skunk, right? It smells kind of farty skunky.
Uh-huh,
and it's a horrible, lingering smell. And I mean, everywhere you go in Seattle, it has that horrible, it's not, in some places it's super potent. And in other places, you have that subtle smell of it.
Serious question.
Yeah.
Is it possible that all the people smoking weed while walking the streets are just getting that skunk weed, and the people who are smoking at home, they're like, my weed is top notch. It doesn't smell bad at all.
I don't know.
It's a question.
I don't know the world of weed that well, but I know that it smells really crappy.
The stinkier, the better.
Is there a way to make weed smell better, or is it just always going to smell that bad when you smoke it?
If it was an hour later, I feel like we'd have a lot of answers for you.
Yeah. Can they put ingredients in it? Can they just use a little bit of vanilla extract in it or whatever?
Then you're going to have vanilla skunk?
Like horrible people accidentally put, well, they don't accidentally, and then they kill people with, what's the drug that kills people?
Oh, is it, the GHB, THC?
No, that kills people.
Oh, the fake weed?
Fentanyl.
Yeah.
They'll throw like fentanyl in there, and then people will die.
But isn't that what vape pens are for? Aren't they like, you want to look like a bigger jerk?
Seattle, if you can figure out how to make weed stop smelling like weed, that would be the discovery. That would be a peace prize.
If you're a smoker, you like the smell. It's part of the sit-down part of it, like the whole smell and smoke of
it. Can you imagine if you were the scientist that figured out how to get weed not to smell like weed?
You're not going to win a Nobel Prize for that.
Dude, whoever the guy was that made Brussels sprouts not taste like Brussels sprouts has done a really good job. He made it genetically better to not be as bitter. So now we all eat Brussels sprouts.
We need to genetically engineer our weed to smell different.
I think so. Now, the last Mike likes that I have is I wasn't here for the debate. What did you guys think of the debate?
All right,
the KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for the C Block starring Corey Majors.
Winners and losers and vomit ball next on The Fan.
Oh, no.